excited about our study today, and thank you for joining in.
Yesterday began the third week on this study, How Can I Know God's Will? And we've covered a lot of territory, and we just finished up a section about obstacles and hindrances. Now, we nowhere covered all the obstacles and hindrances. We skipped a few rocks across some major areas.
We didn't cover them all, but we hit
the
high spots.
Enough to have a few ouches along the way. And today we're going to be stepping into more of how can I know God's will, to go along with our title. We will have hit on some of these things just, you know, as we've been working on other things. And of course, line upon line, you know, there needs to be review and overlap and all that. So over a period of time, we get a fuller picture. And we're going to be talking about different ways that God's will can be made known to us. And I think this will be practical and helpful. Some of them are very obvious, and some of them maybe will be new. But we're going to begin. There's a scripture in Ephesians that it just reminds us again of how important it is to know God's will.
Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is."
So if you want to flip that around, it's basically you're going to be foolish if you don't know what God's will is. You're going to be fooled. You're going to be doing some foolish things. So don't be foolish. Know what God's will is. Well, how can you know that?
And so, first of all, let's say, you know, you can know. It is possible to know.
Yes.
And a lot of people feel like it's just very iffy, or, you know, kind of ambiguous, like, but you really can know God's will. And
or just take a shot. You know, we believe that God can speak expressly, specifically. And I believe there are some times in our journey where there are options. In other words, there's maybe a number of ways to get there. None of them are necessarily sinful. But the there that you're going to is a direction. And God does want us to receive direction from Him concerning how we live our life. And obviously, particularly, we have the mind of Christ. We talked about that yesterday, so that our thinking is always connecting with the Scriptures, with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that. But we always want to live in that place, you know, set your mind on things above. But that doesn't mean you have to pray concerning what God's will is about everything. We covered some of those scriptures.
Like, do I get up this morning?
Yeah. We covered those scriptures. It says this is God's will. So that's already been settled. But sometimes we struggle trying to get the right answer. And sometimes it's choosing between those two or three good things. Which one of these is am I to do?
Right.
So how can you know God's will?
And we've referenced this before, but just to lay that foundation, the first way is through the scriptures themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So that's the basic. We've talked about that many times, but here's a scripture you can root that in.
Yeah, and you kind of see some bumper pads here. Mm-hmm. Like when you get in the Word, you may bump into some of those scriptures that correct you. Like, oops, now I'm aware that what I'm doing over here is not God's will. So I have to correct my direction and get it in alignment with God's will. Sometimes we may be reproved. Sometimes we're just like, what? I didn't know that. We're receiving instruction. Mm-hmm. With the goal of equipping us to live life God's way and to do things God's way. People would expect preachers, Bible teachers to say, you need to know the scriptures. But beyond that, folks, God Himself calls us to study these scriptures that we might be approved. You know, and I love this scripture because it tells us that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, has been breathed upon by God. That word, all scripture is inspired. That word inspired is theopneustos. It means God breathed. God breathed, God moved through those men, about 40 different people over 1,500 years that wrote the scriptures. They were directed by the Holy Spirit. And I know in my seminary training, and we were determining where we were going to go to seminary, that was one of the things that was important to us, is we wanted to go where they believed the Bible was inspired of God, you know, not just a textbook to be studied to enhance one's education, but to believe that the Holy Spirit of God actually moved supernaturally on people so that what they wrote became God's word, was God's word expressed, you know, through writing.
Yes.
And I know that Mid-America, where we attended, every year the professors would sign a document publicly stating, we believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. In other words, every word is inspired. The very words that were employed in the original text were overseen by the Holy Spirit. And so you don't go into the scripture just trying to pull out some ideas and concepts and principles. You go into the scripture knowing those words have been breathed on by God. They have life in them, and they'll do these things. They'll reprove, they'll correct, they'll instruct, they'll convict, and so forth. So, yeah, you got to know the scriptures is found. Number one foundational understanding of how to know God's will is to know God's word.
And according to that verse, they will thoroughly equip you.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Even beyond the bone. Paul talks about, writer Hebrews, 4:12 talks about how the word of God is quick and alive and powerful, quick and powerful, alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and even the marrow of the bones. In other words, the picture is, when you read that word, it lets you know what's coming from the soul, the soulish part of you, the spirit part of you, what's you, what's God, and so forth.
So that's just a review that we've talked about that. Secondly,
read the book.
If you want to know God's word, you don't want to be foolish, you want to understand what the will
book
of the Lord is, not only the scriptures, but the spirit.
And yes, the Spirit.
Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. So we see in the early church an example of the Holy Spirit leading a group of believers specifically toward certain people who would accomplish a certain task and go to a certain place. So it was very specific, you know. It was not just like they had the Great Commission, which was more general.
That's true.
But then this brought it down to very practical. Here's how you accomplish part of that Great Commission for where you are right now.
Yeah, it's really a ground level. This is a ground level instructional scripture. There's so much here because you've got a group of believers. As you said, they're praying and the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, we're not told, did they all hear an audible voice? I suspect that someone started hearing, sensing this direction, shared it, and everyone said, yes, that, and they felt that agreement in them, and so that they could come together and say, you know what, the Lord has spoken. And it was so specific. It was directional. Separate. In other words, there's something I want some of you to do that all of you aren't going to do. Separate Barnabas and Paul for the work that I've called them. So it's a who word, these two men. It's a what word. I'm separating them for this call. And they were in agreement. And this is where we see how the early church processed direction corporately from the Lord. And they were in agreement that as you read there, it says, I'm trying to find it here, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. In other words, it's so authoritative, it was so clear that they say, this is the word of the Lord, you know. Now, they may have heard it audibly, I don't know. One of them may have heard it audibly. I think sometimes the Lord can speak audibly where one person is hearing it and no one else does. And there's some indication of that when Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. But I just like the way we're seeing them process how God speak. And it launched the missionary movement, what we call Paul's first missionary journey. As you said, this was specific direction on the general mandate to go into all the world. And God's still doing that. He's calling people. He'll call people to certain nations. He'll call people to minister in certain churches. He'll call people to attend certain fellowships. This is where I want you to belong. I know when people who come to Grace House, sometimes they'll say, you know, we sense the Lord may be leading us here, or what do you do to become a part of this fellowship, you know? And we share, well, number one, we, you know, you need to know the Lord and go through that. But if the Holy Spirit's leading you, then yes, you need to obey. We receive you. We want you where the Lord wants you. And we rejoice when he sends people our way, because, and they sense that confirmation because he's leading them there for a purpose. And sometimes it's for them, sometimes it's for us, and most of the time it's for both of us, all of us, you know, because God's putting something together. He's putting people together because he's got something in mind.
Yeah, and I also think that the Holy Spirit had spoken to Paul and Barnabas. Or at least when this word came forth, there was confirmation in their heart, in their spirit. Yes, this is right. And so there are so many ways that God speaks his will in a group of believers. But I think there was confirmation inside them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that definitely needs to be clarified. Just somebody comes up and says, hey, the Lord's telling me you're supposed to go. You know, well, you need to have a witness of that as well. You know, because we're reluctant and hesitant about paradigms where people bypass the Holy Spirit's leadership in their own life. Now, like if you have a word for someone, you share it with them. And I try to be careful to say, this is what I think the Lord's laying on my heart, share with you. But you pray about that. You make sure you bear witness with it. And we say that because we can miss it. Or you may be getting a part of the word and you're seeing more than the Lord's saying. That can happen. Or you're getting it, if you're in a group, you might even be getting it for the wrong person, you know.
Yeah, that can happen. You can be in a group and be sensing something and assume it's one person. So we have to clarify, who is this word for? Like yesterday we were talking about the Lord telling us to step out, but then we asked the question, okay, so when? So sometimes even in a group, like say there were six of us in a circle praying, we might begin to sense something and we not need clarification on who that's for.
This scripture also brings out for us that the Holy Spirit calls people into ministry. I don't feel like I've been called to call people into ministry. I'll encourage people who are called in the ministry. There's sometime maybe a prophetic word that will confirm what the Holy Spirit's calling a person to do. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. You need to have an agreement, a willingness and an agreement in your heart to seek the Lord and let him confirm that in you. Because if a man calls you into the ministry, then another man can discourage you to walk away from that call. But if God calls you into ministry, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So there'll be a grace to help you go through the hard times, the difficult times, to encourage you in those times when you may be tempted to give up. So I remember when I was first called in the ministry and was going to go get some, you know, and did go to get training, you know, got my 4-year degree, then went on seminary and so forth. Somebody was kind of harping me a little bit about, we don't believe in people going off school to be a preacher. And I remember saying, and I've shared it many times, I wasn't going off to school to be a preacher. I was a preacher going off to school. And that's two different things. In other words, you don't go to school to become called. Now, you might be led to school and while you're there be called, but what I'm saying is I believe scripture is someone that's called into ministry. It's a call. It's a vertical call. The Holy Spirit's been moving and working. It's horizontally confirmed and affirmed and encouraged. That's important. And I think you see Paul doing that for other people that are called in ministry. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. God called men and women who are doing what God's called him to do. And whatever aspect of life that God has you in, there's a sense which we're all in ministry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, those are the first two parts that we were going to talk about today.
Yeah, we probably should tap the brakes there.
We are going to pause and tomorrow pick up with some further ways that you can understand the will of the Lord. And we pray you're kept safe in this weather. For those of you who are in our region, we pray safety over you and if these storms weaken and not cause damage, we're asking for that in Jesus' name. We pray you have a good day.
Yes. And if some of you are in the throes or midst of making some decisions and you're uncertain what to do, I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and direct you to know God's will. And then read the scriptures. Just ask the Lord to guide you as you read the scriptures. At times you may say, Lord, is there any particular book in the Word? Sometimes you may feel leadings to read certain areas. And ask the Lord to speak to you. It's amazing how the Spirit of God can work through the Word of God to help you know the will of God. And so if you're in one of those times of decisions, get in the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to help you and lead you.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Stay safe. We speak peace over you, and we speak peace to these storms in Jesus' name. Love you all.